You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, still in the freestyle era. And if you don't know what freestyle era means, it means that me, features editor John Gentile, isn't going to edit the podcast or mixing music. Because frankly, right now, I don't have the time. And I still have about two episodes that I still have to get up on this on the podcast feed, which I will try to do at least one tomorrow. I am also here with M. Moore. Oh, and also freestyle era means we're not quite as structured as we usually are. And I'm also here with M. Moore, who does a lot of interviews and does a ton of news at the site. M. Moore is, I guess, editor. I don't know what's your title these days. Editor.
I was going by news.
Big dog. Sorry? Big dog.
Yeah, I think so. Big tuna. Big large. Tuna. Large and in charge. The large boss.
The boss. The boss and more. And so, yeah. One thing, and it's funny, is that, like, the Punk News Podcast doesn't have millions of listeners, but we do have substantial listeners. And I always feel like we have no listeners when I'm just, like, rapping. I'm like, oh, there's, like, 70 listeners. We have more. And the reason I bring this up is about four or five episodes ago, and more and I did a recap of Brooks Bond Voyage, the show that we threw in January with Froggy, At Night, Dissidents, and Billy. And I didn't really, quote, spill much tea, as it were, but I did say so-and-so annoyed me, and this person showed up and was being wacky, and, you know, and not that I didn't say anything I wouldn't say to anybody's face, but somebody involved, like, messaged me, and they were like, oh, I'm sorry. Well, they didn't say, like, I'm sorry, but basically they said, well, you don't need to lose money on shows. We didn't need to get any money. And, like, listen, I mean, I'm annoyed that I lost $50 on the show, but not at any of the bands. It's because I was slipped my own throat there. Someone that I trusted walked off with some cash. And so that's not the band's fault, you know. But it's like I was probably – and not that I say anything that I want to say to a person's face, but there is a certain tact when you're talking to someone about someone. And so on the podcast, I was like, oh, no one will ever hear this, you know? And so I might have been a little loosey-goosey. I was like, you know, so-and-so was really annoying me at the time, and this person was annoying me at the time, and they were like, F you, John, you say, take care of the problem. And I'm like, woe is me. And then I forget that it does get out there. And for a while, I was even loosey-goosey. And you might even remember, about 2 years ago, I was getting really loosey-goosey. I'm like, you know, I got to reel it in because it's actually causing me problems.
Oh, that's right, yes.
I'm not going to reel it in, but it is just funny that, like, I feel like no one listens to the podcast, and but I mean, I've seen the numbers, people too. And then when it gets back to people that I'm talking about, I'm like, you know. So here's a bit of breaking news. The next Punk News show, actually, there might be one before this, but there's going to be a Punk News show on July 27 in Philly, and it is going to be rad and one of the most special shows that we've done. So that's going to be very exciting. And, oh, one other thing that I have to mention, well, two things is, A, I've allowed myself to jump around more in line of thought. And that's, I mean, I've been doing this podcast for like 15 years, which is insane when you think about it. But I've allowed myself to jump around thought-wise, and that's terrible on an audio program. Second, even though I've been doing this for 10 or 15 years, I've gotten worse in that I say, you know, a lot, or I say, you know, pausing, or I'll say like the word the like three times in a row. I really got to get better at speaking clearly and concisely. And it was pretty rough to listen to, I got to say.
You listened to one of the episodes?
I listened back to the Brooke Bond Voyage episode.
Got it.
And I do listen to them here or there. Honestly, I actually haven't recently since the freestyle era, but maybe I should, because man, it was not it wasn't my best work talking wise.
It's easy to do, though. Like, again, dear listeners, we record these at like 9 p.m., you know, when like the day is done, and, you know, you're just like talking and hanging out. It's easy to do.
I'm trying to deliver premium content for our listeners and readers. And speaking of premium content,
hell yeah.
We recently had the Mean Jeans interview by moi at the website, and I'm going to speak out of term, is I thought my Mean Jeans interview came out pretty good, but Mean Jeans did a few other interviews with regards to their excellent new album called Blast It, and they reposted those albums on Instagram, but not mine. And that kind of, But maybe that's because I called them dumb throughout the entire interview. So maybe that was part
Yeah.
came up pretty cool. And Moore's also been doing a ton of interviews. She's done one with Alana and Hannah of Cherim, with Nathan of Meth, and so Bitch Fest with Lexi Rubidoux. Is that how you say your name? Lexi Rubidoux?
I think it's Robidoux.
Sounds like something like not Shaggy, Scooby-Doo would say Ruby-dooby-doo, and Ashley Kachia. And so anyway, so lots of interviews at Punk News, lots of reviews. We got Mean Jeans right now and some metal bands. I don't know anything about that. Sam Holden reviews and the Comateens, and there's lots of good stuff and new news every day of the week.
Yes.
Actually, Emma, I was thinking, not to get off too off on a track, but I
What's
was
up?
thinking in that, like, I'm always patting ourselves on the back, but we do kind of kick ass. It's like, what other website does punk news every day now? I think it's just us. I think it's back to being just us.
I really think so too, because like a lot of the like quote unquote like bigger publications, like they're not doing just punk, right? Like Brooklyn
Right.
Vegan's great, but they're covering like all genres, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, no, it's we have at least two news stories per day, and it's usually like
Two,
above that. It's
no,
you well like on a
we usually have
slow day we have
we have
two.
like 8 to 15. Two, what are you
We
talking about?
usually have
Two.
8 to 15.
Hey, Em, do you
Yeah.
remember that one time, that one, I'm not gonna name names, and this is me
Oh,
being a terrible
whoops.
podcaster, but do you remember someone emailed me, he's like, how come there hasn't been much
Oh,
new
God.
news lately? And there was like 20 stories that day. I'm like,
Yeah.
what?
Yeah, that was the hour, half hour, a half hour. Yeah, there's so much. I think it's people don't pay attention, and it's like if you don't see something, like just hit like load more stories because we've probably already covered it.
I just think a lot of people are dumbasses, frankly. Like, the more I'm out and about, the more I think people are dumbasses. I mean, really, I really think some people, you know, it's easy to say people are stupid, because when you say, oh, people are stupid, that's kind of complimenting yourself. It's like, well, I'm smart. But there are a lot of stupid people out there. Like, if you're just out there walking around, there's a lot of real freaking dumbasses, and it's really annoying me. Anyways, also, M, is there any other website that like covers M Moore bands? And by like M Moore bands is kind of a heuristic for, like, how can I phrase this? For punk
Really cool
slash
bands.
indie slash post riot girl slash women, usually women bands with a lot of women in them that buck at traditional women and band norms, and I guess seek to equalize the disparate gender gap in rock and punk specifically. Is there any other website that's covering as many as we are, thanks to you?
Oh, thank you. I don't think so. Like a lot of the bands that I find like are through social media or through recommendations or like sometimes your emails are like whatever, but mostly like boots on the ground type deal. And it's like I think everyone should be talking about these bands because they're really, really cool. And then it's it's just nowhere else, or there might be one story somewhere, and it's just like, come on, guys.
Well, I mean, just because, you know, I go to shows in
They're
Philadelphia and
great.
stuff, and sometimes I wind up at like an M Moore band type show. Like, there's a band called Slop Tart, which is very much an M Moore type band,
That's
and
a
it's a
fun
scene.
name.
It's like a scene. It's a bunch. I mean, honestly, I feel a little creepy because everyone there is like way younger than I am, but it's like a scene. And so, like the bands that M Moore picks are def there's definitely a thread between them. There's definitely a scene, and I think
Definitely.
people like don't even kid like. Fans of Vile or fans of Eco Astral or even Susie, well, maybe Susie should be an example, but another band we're going to talk about later on tonight is
Thunder Queens.
Thunder Queens. I don't know if those bands even consider themselves punk, which really I think they really are punk. Like, quite, they're extremely punk, I think. I don't know if they say the word punk. I think they just think they're grunge-ish alt rock or what, you know, whatever they are. But there's definitely a scene there, and I think we're the only website that focuses on that scene, frankly. I know Brooklyn Vegan touches on it and New Noise touches on it, but I mean, we're just consistent with it. I mean, thanks to M.
Oh, thanks. And
But I mean, like, is there any other website that is covering bands like Thunder Queens as much as we do, or Vile or Thick or those kinds of bands?
I don't think so. I think too, like we're covering them in a very timely manner. When like stuff's announced, like it's up, it's not, it doesn't usually take like a week to notice. You know, not calling out other websites, but like, you know what I mean? Like it's very kind of up to the minute. Cause again, like Punk News is a reflection of us, right? Like it's who, what we listen to, and it's what we like, and it's the scenes that we're in. And it's, like, especially for me, one thing that's really important and has been since I started work or started, like, you know,
working for Punk News,
working for Punk News,
getting a huge paycheck from Punk News.
Oh, my, my six figure salary. I'm actually at my vacation house right now. It's a company car. But since I started like writing for Punk News, it was, I've gone to the site since I was, I don't know, like 13. And I've wanted to see people who are like me and who are talking about things that I think are important, and you know, kind of all these things too, because it's when you find a new band and you're like, oh my god, like this is amazing, and then you get into the scene, even that's, even if that's not where you live or whatever, like it's life-changing, it's amazing. And I really want to, you know, do that, because punk's such a big word and a big genre, and there's so much going on. That's a lot of really fun, cool stuff, and especially now with a lot of younger bands and a lot of like bands with women and non-binary people in them, and like it's just, it's amazing to see, and I'm so glad I have that like platform to be able to highlight them and kind of give them the like, hey, you know, you're doing really, really well, like you're kicking ass, you're making music that means something, and you're just keep going, you know, people are paying attention.
Well, indeed. So let's see, what do we have to talk about tonight? I agree, but what else can I say? Let's see here. Well, actually, I guess the biggest thing to talk about this week is Record Store Day 2024. The details were released, and frankly, the punk news site Record Store Day usually comes with something of a big to do. This time, it kind of came with a whimper, I guess, because people are kind of Record Store Day'd out. It was, although the people that did post it was fairly divisive. Record Store Day is April 20th, 420. And I'm going to just run over maybe some of the highlights or some of the more noticeable releases right now. In the meantime, Em, while I pull up the chart, why don't you talk about the Record Store Day ambassador and whether or not you think that ambassador is a good choice or not. But actually, don't do that, because here's the list right here. We'll talk about the ambassador in a second.
Okay.
Some of the more notable artists playing, not playing, putting out a record on Record Store Day 2024, which is now, Record Store Day is almost 20 years old at this point. I remember going to the first ones out in San Jose. So, ha, ha, ha. So, anyway, some of the more notable ones are a bunch of Beatle 3-inch records. That's bullshit. Boogie Down Productions is putting out a reissue of Edutainment, their seminal second-to-last record, which is an amazing record. It doesn't have any bonus tracks on it. Only one bonus track.
Oh.
However, what it does have... No, that's... Oh, no. What it does have... No, it... So the CD version of Edutainment is much longer than the vinyl version. The vinyl original vinyl version was only one record. The reissue is two records. And it looks like they put in some of the CD bonus tracks, but not all of them. There's actually like a super amazing closing track they didn't put on. So that's kind of weird. Kind of weird release. Anyway, Boogie Down Production is re-releasing Edutainment, one of the best hip-hop records of all time. Let's see what else here. We've got
the 1975 Sire demos by the Ramones.
Yeah, they actually great. That one has been in bootleg for a long, long time. Now we're finally getting the original recordings of the Ramones, which is cool. An expanded version of English Beats' "What Happened," which is their second record. The Fun Boy. They're putting out a double Fun Boy 3 record. And do you know who Fun Boy 3 is?
I do not. Who Fun are Fun Boy 3?
Is Terry Hall's kind of like 80s-ish synth band after the Specials. Wow.
Oh, cool.
Well, it ain't...
Oh, it wasn't good.
It's a bunch of 12-inch mixes, which is that you, I don't know. I mean,
Oh, okay.
I want Funboy 3 to be good, but it's just like kind of like mid-period madness, and like a lot of these post-ska bands, it's just bizarrely boring for some reason.
Oh,
Let's see what
that's
else is coming on out.
You've completely forgotten about Little Joe Sure Can Sing by Joe Pesci.
That's actually, you know about that record? So
I do not.
before Joe Pesci, I didn't realize that was coming. That's actually pretty cool. Before Joe Pesci was Joe Pesci, he tried to
Yes.
be a singer and he failed. A lot of people
Oh.
think his record is fantastic. It's actually like a $200 record. And so
Holy.
it's cool they're reissuing it. I've heard it actually. It's good, but if it wasn't Joe Pesci, I don't think anybody would care. But in a maddening turn of events, Kepi Ghouli is releasing a massive Groovy Ghoulies compilation, two LPs, 40 tracks, but in pure Kepi style, he's only making 900 of them. And in pure
Oh.
Kepi style, like he sold like 10 $1,000 shares to get the record made or something, which I thought was kind of weird. Iggy and the Stooges are putting out live in 2005. There's actually a bunch of live 2000s-ish Iggy records, and they're all great. And so I fully expect this one to be. I mean, they are really, really, really good records. Let's see what's on this one here. Only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tracks. That's weak. Seems like a chintzy release, frankly. Let's see. And there are some chintzy Iggy releases as well. There's a Cool Keith record coming out. Let's see what else. There's a couple other. Joe Strummer is re-releasing. Not Street Core. Give me a second. I'll pull it on up. I thought it was a real, but we'll talk about it in a second. Meat Puppets are putting out a live record. Let's see here. There was a couple of records that I really, really did want. The Ramones record we talked about. They're putting out
Yeah.
a Lee Scratch Perry compilation. Public Enemy. Oh, this is kind of cool. Public Enemy is putting out a live record from their 2003 tour. That's pretty cool. Queen is putting out a 7-inch single for Cool Cat, and I can almost guarantee the reason they're doing that is because that song was in a commercial for like Amazon or something. Do you see that commercial,
Oh,
Lyman?
no. I didn't know. Is it a commercial?
The Slits are re-releasing In the Beginning, which
Yeah.
actually that great record. Oh wow, it's like super expanded now. Wow, well that's kind of cool. So In the Beginning is a hit or miss record because it's great performances, not great sound quality. But it looks like now they've put a whole second record to it, so that's pretty interesting. I might have to pick that up for $45. Susie and Sue and the Banshees is releasing Nocturne, and Joe Sparks are putting out another record, and Joe Strummer is re-releasing Rock Art and the X-Rays. Oh, Talking Heads are putting out an unreleased live record, Live in
Oh, cool.
77, which looks pretty sweet, honestly. An unreleased live show from 1977, and the Rock Art and X-Ray Style M. Without seeing
Yes.
it, what are the bonus tracks and/or extra material on this re-release?
Ooh, I don't know.
Nothing, because these Joe Strummer releases are the laziest re-releases I've ever seen.
Oh.
There are so many interesting Joe Strummer B-sides and bootlegs and live recordings, and they just keep re-releasing the same three records over and over and over and over again. And anyways, M, Record Store
It's
Day 2024. Is there anything here that you're excited about? Record Store Day, is it still popping? Is it a waste? And how do you think prices will be? Because prices were very expensive,
yes.
then they dropped down, but I've noticed they've been creeping up, and particularly this year, records and prices for records in general, not just records themselves, have actually shot way up. Like record now, like prices are like starting at like 35, not 25, 35. You know, records are
Ooh.
super expensive these days. So what's your take here?
So, first of all, some records you didn't mention that I think are pretty cool that are being released for Record Store Day. First is the Rocky Horror Show original demo tapes, which I think would be really, really, really cool.
I mean, I'm not trying to be a dick, but I mean, like, really? Because like the
Yeah, it'd
Rocky
be
Horror
sick.
soundtrack is great, but like who wants demos? I never, except for De Ramones 1975 demos, I never want demos. I want the better version of the record, you know?
I think demos in like a musical like kind of theater setting are different because that way you get to see how the songs really evolved. So I like demos in that sense better than like here's a bunch of, Clash demos.
Although actually, well,
Yeah.
I will contradict, like the Clash demos that came with the Clash Sound System box set, the Polydor demos, they actually whip. Like they
Oh,
sound
that's
like
good.
super good. Like, but however, like some of the Ramones bonus track CDs have like demos, and they're not that interesting, except for when it's like Dee Dee singing a Joey song, you know? But like the Joe Strummer demos are just painfully boring. Like I was like, oh my God. Like no one needs or wants this, you know? So go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, 100%. It depends on who's putting out the demos and what they are,
I think it
for
depends on
sure.
whether or not the demos themselves are worthwhile. And usually, demos for the sake of demos to me are pointless. If there's something different or unique about the demos, then I think they're worthwhile. But to me, most demos are just here's less good versions of songs you already know and love, you know? And my favorite band of
Ta-da.
all time, the Rolling Stones, on some of their reissues, they've been labeling demos as alt versions, but they're clearly demos because some of them are like cut off halfway through, and it's like, you know, here's a version of Brown Sugar that's not as good as the one you know, you know. So thanks.
Appreciated. There's a Live in Europe Howlin' Wolf record, which is
Oh.
pretty cool. Like, that's really neat. The Hives have a, is it the, is it Live? Yeah. Oh, it's two. They packaged Lex Hives and Live from Terminal 5. So one is a live record, which is cool. There's a Doors live record from Stockholm 1968, which is pretty rad. I didn't know this. And when I saw this, I was like, wait, what? The Tragically Hip are releasing live at, or they're live at CBGB's. I didn't know that was a thing. And that's really, really cool. John, do you know the Tragically Hip?
Yeah, I do know the Tragically Hip, a long cherished Canadian band, which
Yes.
I know they appeared on a couple of effed up records, I believe.
Yeah, so that was really cool because I didn't know they did a like live at CBGB's thing. So I would definitely check that out. But yeah, like those are some things like right off the bat, just adding to the stuff we've already talked about that I was really kind of drawn to. I think Record Store Day is still a thing. I think people are still excited about it. I think it's a little bit harder to maybe get as excited about it just because, like, again, the prices with things being really expensive and also like the cost of living and everything. It's one of those things where it's, oh, that's really cool, but I probably won't be able to participate in it. So I think that's drawing a lot of people away from it. I think that we're going to see the trend continue and records are going and vinyl's going to go up in price. I don't know by how much, but I do think that there's going to be an increase, which sucks, but I have a feeling that's where it's going to be going. John, what do you think?
I love Record Store Day. I think it's kind of, I think it is a little bit too expensive. But I think the Record Store Day excitement is going to continue at least for a number of years because every time I go, it's actually bigger than it was the time before. I missed out on the last couple. But then I just the, back in the day with Record Store Day, like if you didn't get if you weren't in line at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m., you just weren't going to get that rare Sublime 7-inch or that rare Ramones live show or that rare Joe Strummer re-release, which now you can get anytime, any, you know, you just weren't going to get it. Over the past 6 or 7 years, but particularly over the past 2 or 3 years, I actually haven't gone to a Record Store Day in the morning at all because I had something else to do. And then I every time I'm like, well, I'll just go at night and hopefully I can get what I can get. Every single time I've gotten every single thing I wanted, like at night. And really, you really should even probably wait because things drop on price online pretty quickly, usually. So I think the necessity to get there super early isn't there anymore. Except it looks like there are some hyper limited things like the Kepi thing. We actually I forgot to mention there's a Dead Milkmen reissue of Bucky Fellini, which I'll get even though I haven't. I don't know if that, let me see if it's got any bonus tracks or anything. But it's cool that that's coming out. I'd love to get the Kepi Ghoulie thing, but I don't think it's gonna. I think it's gonna be strictly West Coast because that's like one of those what they call regional things, which. I'm a huge Kepi fan, a big Groovy Ghoulies fan. It's so frustrating to me that Kepi is so weird with his releases and that like he'll only do like super limited ones, but then he'll do widespread re-recordings of entire albums that sound like the original album completely, you know. I just don't get it. I'm looking at the Dead Milkmen Bucky Fellini reissue. Actually, it just the album, nothing really that special with it, but I'm still gonna get it. I think there's a lot of cool stuff this time, and like I always say, there's a lot of bullshit too, like the Fleetwood Mac picture disc. There's actually a lot. There's a Cure picture disc. Who wants picture discs? Like, does anybody want picture discs, M? Like, I think some people do, but that's stupid. Picture discs are dumb. They sound like crap. I mean, like the first time in your life you see a picture disc, you're like, wow, there's a picture of Stevie Wonder in the record itself. Wow. But then after you realize it's just a piece of paper between two clear records, it's not that impressive. You know what I mean? And so they sound like crap. They're super expensive. No one wants picture discs, I don't think. And if you do, you shouldn't because they're not good. That being said, so there is some boring crap. And also, again, the Joe Strummer estate, they've got a wealth of unreleased material. I've got like three bootleg Joe Strummer live records that sound almost professional quality that they could just clean up a little bit and sell as a product. I've got five or six Joe Strummer CD singles that have all these amazing bonus tracks. Blitzkrieg Bop by Joe Strummer Live. Pressure Drop by Joe Strummer Live. Bank Robber by Joe Strummer Live. Just these amazing Police and Thieves by Joe Strummer Live. These amazing bonus tracks that they, instead of releasing, that they just re-released a record that everyone already has again, which I don't know why. I truly don't know why they're doing it. It's weird. Very lazy. If you go back to like the Ramones, if you ask me, the Ramones have been putting out material that might not justify itself in a widespread release or might get lost in the shuffle, but for Record Store Day is really cool. They put out all these excellent live albums. They put out the box set of the late of the mid period records, which were so well done. And now they're putting out the demos, which has been out for years as a bootleg, which I'm all for bands taking out bootleg material, taking it back and making it official and making it nicer. And if you ask me, as much flack as Linda Ramone gets, she really has handled. I mean, she gets a lot of crap, and I don't know if it's deserved, friend. I mean, I guess people say she's kind of flaky, or maybe they say she's kind of a Yoko Ono type character, but way more so than Yoko Ono, Linda Ramone has done a really good job of preserving the Ramones history and finding new material that's worthwhile. And you might say, well, yeah, John, it's not Linda gone through the recordings, but she's the one authorizing it, and she's the one that's got the final say, particularly since Johnny Lee, not Mickey Lee, who beat on her for years, sold his half anyways. Like, what a dick. I mean, it's easy for me to say, but I'm so annoyed by that. So anyways, the point being, I really think that Linda Ramone has been doing an amazing job, pretty much as good a job as you could do as preserving a band's legacy, keeping it in print, and finding new material or archival material that's worthwhile. So I'm super psyched for it. Let me see what else is here that I mentioned that I'm super psyched on. The Boogie Down Productions thing, I've got that on vinyl, but I'm going to buy it anyway because I'm a sucker. The Groovy Ghoulies, I definitely want to buy it, but I won't be able to because I'm a sucker. The Iggy and the Stooges thing, I actually probably won't buy because it's not what I thought it was. I thought this Iggy and the Stooges record was one of these ones that are released by Iggy, but it looks to be more like one of these gray market releases that they put out every year of Iggy, which are very hit or miss sound
Oh.
quality wise. I'm going to buy this, but not on the day of release. This is one of the things that they're going to put out for $40, and it's going to drop down to $15 in about 6 months. So I'll just pick that up then. Slits, I'll probably buy that, even though I already have it. I'm buying a lot of stuff I already have here. Maybe I'll just Talking Heads. I definitely want that. That's going to be a hot item for sure. Talking Heads are super popular right now, so this is going to be a very hard to get release. Well, there's 8,000 of them, so there's a fair amount to go around. So yeah, I mean, if you ask me, sure, is there some junk on the list? But there's a lot of great stuff too. I'm looking forward to it. I always have fun at Record Store Day, standing in line with people talking about records. It's always a pleasant atmosphere. Little pricey, sometimes the wallet gets hit pretty hard. I'm psyched that really there's only about maybe four or five things that I really, really want here. So my wallet's gonna take a hit, but not, I mean, some years, man, like I was getting hit for like $400. It's like, and
Oh.
you don't feel good about it. Like you get a lot of cool stuff, but you don't feel good about it. You don't walk out of there like, yeah, I got some bunch of rad stuff. You're like, oh man, I just spent a whole lot of money. And you know, these are cool records, but are they that cool? But if you spend 100, 150, you get a fat stack of records. You walk out, you feel good about yourself. It looks pretty cool, you know. So
Yeah.
yeah, lot of pretty neat stuff coming out this time on Record Store Day. So I'm pro. I hope prices are reasonable. And we will go from there. So yeah, I'm looking up. I'm pulling up the Ramones. I actually didn't look at the actual Ramones release itself. I'm gonna look at it right now. And then oh, I see Schoolie D is releasing Saturday Night the album, which is actually one of the very first gangster rap albums. I'm not gonna buy it because I've got an original and I don't need just the exact replica. Here we go. Ramones, the 1975 Sire demos. Yeah,
Okay.
okay. It's exactly the same as the bootleg, and I highly recommend it. I have the bootleg, it sounds great. And I'm sure this new one will sound even better. And what is cool about this one is the songs do actually sound significantly different than the first album. So definitely worthwhile. Very cool. And also,
Cool.
that checks out is the cool. If you take the Ramones 1975 and look at what else was coming out in 1975, it actually blows your mind about how far ahead of time they were. I'm just going to randomly pull up. Let's see here, July 1975 part hit, and we'll see what the Ramones were doing while they were doing Blitzkrieg Bop. Here we go, Em. Loose in the
All
Sky with Diamonds, Elton John. Barry Manilow, Mandy. Carpenters,
right.
Please, Mr. Postman. Neil Sedaka, Laughter in the Rain. Ohio Players, Fire. Linda Ronstadt, You're No Good. Average White Band, Pick Up the Pieces. Eagles, Best of My Love. The Doobie Brothers, Frankie Valli. Elton, Philadelphia Freedom, BJ Thomas, Tony Orlando and Dawn, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Like, it really is
Oh my
insane that
goodness.
it, like compare the Ramones to that. It's insane how far ahead of time the Ramones were. And then I guess if you look at the Stooges, like that's crazy too, you know? But it is crazy.
Yeah.
Like the Ramones were writing Blitzkrieg Bop while like Eagles were singing Best of My Love, like or Mandy by Barry Manilow like, on the radio. That's like crazy. You know what I mean? Or Bee Gees Jive Talking.
It's like stuff like that where it's wow, no wonder people were like, holy shit, what's this?
And it's no wonder they were so hated by some people too, because it's like
Yeah.
it's so much better than friggin', I don't know, Falling
Mandy?
in Love by Mandy. Yeah, Mandy. And one of my most embarrassing phases, I went through about a 2 week period where I told people I liked Barry Manilow because I didn't know a whole lot about music. I
Oh.
heard Copacabana and I like Copacabana. Now I think it
Yeah.
sounds kind of cheesy. So I'm like, yeah, Barry Manilow is great. And people are like, you like Barry Manilow? Like, yeah, Barry Manilow is great. And then I actually got some Barry Manilow records and I was bored to tears. Like, I couldn't believe how boring it was, you know? So,
Oh
do you know what Mandy is about, M? Barry Manilow's Mandy?
Isn't it okay? It's either about somebody that he cheated on or it's somebody that like
I don't think Barry Manilow's cheated on many women, M. I don't think that's
don't
happening.
know. Or like what was it?
His
Somebody like
dog,
turned
it's
it's
his
about
best.
his dog.
Do you know what Michael Jackson's song Ben is about?
I didn't know Michael Jackson had a song called Bet.
He had a pretty famous song called Ben after the end of the Jackson 5, but like before
Okay.
Michael Jackson, the world, the world dominator of music, and before Michael
Sure.
Jackson, the massive child molester. What do you think
Ooh.
his song Ben was about?
Is it also about a pet?
Yes.
Ooh, but it's not a dog because Barry
No.
Manilow has cornered the market on dogs. Is it about a fish?
This is about his pet rat named Ben. And
I wouldn't have guessed rat. Okay.
famously, Berry Gordy said, "Why can't you just write about a song about a person like you write about your mouth?" You know, and you know, Michael Jackson did some real heinous things. Yeah, and we're getting way off track, Em. But
We are.
Michael Jackson did some real heinous things. But on the other hand, like as a child, he was beaten. And he could never be a child, and he always had to work, and it was never good enough, and he had to support the rest of his family. You know, it's a real puzzle, Em. You know what I mean? It's no wonder he couldn't connect with people he had to write about rats. I can't blame him in that respect, you know.
No, that's a rough life.
So, anyways, let's talk about some more fun stuff, I guess. So anyway, Record Store Day. I'm excited. I think it's rad. Ricky was poo-pooing it, but that's because Ricky is unduly negative. Here's something else that's real cool. Dan Bird of Chumbawamba is putting out a new album. The new album's a real title. Coke to Puss's Garden. Now that's what I call capitalism, the musical. It's a double album. It's a musical, and it's about two songwriting bots that escape their enslavement and go on the run and learn about the horrors of late period capitalism. The lead single is called When Push Comes to Shove, and it's got kind of a reggae beat kind of thing. And I think this lead single is awesome. And I think the album's going to be totally awesome. I am so psyched for this. Danbert is the man. He's
Yes.
played one punk news. No, he's played two punk news shows. He played the Summer Chimera, which was Sturgeon, backed by Crazy in the Brains, Danbert, and Roadkiller. And then more recently, he played with the Dwarves, Zorn, Danbert, Vixen 77, and Mikey Erg Band. And I'm psyched on
Ooh,
this.
nice.
Danbert's the dude. Danbert's the man. I think this track is great, and I'm super psyched.
Yeah, the track rules. It sounds so good. And it's like, I want to know what happens to these bots. What do they see? What do they do? Where do they go? What happens to them? You know, like, I want to know the whole story behind everything. But yeah, song sounds great. Danbert rules. Looking forward to the album. It's going to be very interesting. What is a Coctopus?
I think it's in regards to the Koch brothers. The Koch brothers
Oh.
are two, or is there three of them? I think there's two, right?
I'm not sure.
Let me take
I
a
would
quick look.
go with two over three, but
The
I'm
Koch
not
brothers
100%.
are two exceptionally rich. Well, it's actually a family, but they usually call them Koch brothers. It's two. Let's see, is it two? Yes, two brothers, Charles and David Koch. They are two exceptionally rich investors that are known for having super sketchy politics and also severely damaging the environment through certain investments. So you
There
can
we
look
go.
up,
Okay.
and I don't even want to get into like there's all like they're kind of, there's like all these conspiracy theories, both pro and con, and you can look it up yourself. But they're they put their money in some kind of real not cool political funds. Here we go.
All right.
Let me take a look here. Man, imagine having 400 million to donate to a political cause. Like you can donate 400
Ooh.
million. Not that you have 400 million, you can donate 400 million.
Okay, 400 million can do a lot. Like
And
so much.
that just goes to show how much money they're making. Like off, and that just goes to show you how much it costs to buy politicians for. It's crazy.
That is
Crazy.
ridiculous.
So anyway, and so Danbert, as always, is being super political, which is cool, and that's Danbert,
Yes.
man. He really is the true anarcho-punk, man. Danbert rules.
Agreed.
Tell us about Thunder. I keep forgetting this band's name.
Queens.
Thunder Queens. Tell us about Thunder Queens.
Yeah, all right. So Thunder Queens are a like punk rock, garage punk rock band out of London, Ontario. They are made up of like I believe they're teenagers. They've been playing since they were really, really young. And they've announced their debut album, and it'll be out in April, and it's called Strike One. So they released their self-titled EP a couple years ago now, and it was very good. They played Pooza last year, and because of like a timing issue, I miss them. But I saw them at like the merch mall, and their mom was there because like the venues are like 19 plus and stuff, and they seemed to just be having like the best time, like the best time. So that was really cool to see. I did talk to a couple people who did catch their set, and they were absolutely like blown away. Said like, you know, they can play really well, and their energy's really there. And that's really like evident on their new song. They released a video for it. It's called Fighter. So the video is pretty funny. It like shows the band working in a record store, and then this like paper plane like flies through, and it's an advertisement for like there's a fight tonight. So then they're like lifting weights and like boxing and getting ready for the fight. Then they like get out and like kind of peel away in their car to go to it. So I like the premise of the video, and I thought it was really fun. And the song itself, like, it's very, very catchy. There's a lot of really cool like group vocals in it. There's a lot of energy in it. Like, it's very like crunchy, sort of. So I'm really liking the song, and I can't like I'm looking forward to the album too, and to see like what they're gonna put out. And it's just so great to see like young people like taking up like punk rock and like really making it their own and stuff. So I'm being really excited about it and bringing a lot of energy and like drive to it. So I'm excited to see what Thunder Queens do in the future. John, what do you make of Thunder Queens?
Yeah, I thought Thunder Queens are real cool. I didn't realize they were that young. Wow, I mean they do look pretty young, but I think they're real cool. And I dug this track, and I dug how it's kind of punky, kind of glammy, kind of sing-songy. And I like actually not to beat on the concept of Emore bands too much, but it well Emore bands kind of vacillate between two energies, but this energy is unbridled positivity and energy. But focus towards defeating negative matters, which I like a lot.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we're not gonna be squished.
But they're having fun. You know what I mean? Like
Yes.
a lot of bands will sit there and be miserable, which honestly, I like some of those. Like Rudimentary Penile is always like, it's like,
Well,
there's no point in living. You know, the universe is nothing but blackness, you know. But they're having
yeah.
fun, which I like. I like bands that are having fun, and I like bands that are miserable. But I like how this band is having fun. And the video is kind of funny, and I like funny videos.
Yes.
Here is another story that I missed my segue here. Red Cross is putting out a new album this summer. Red Cross, of course, is Steve McDonald and Jeff McDonald, as well as Dale Crover on drums of the Melvins. The Melvins are also going on tour this summer to Australia and Japan, and Dale Crover will not be there because, if you all recall, last year he had back problems and he wasn't sure how long he was going to be out. He's actually healed up now, but not in enough time to get a visa to go to Japan and Australia, and they're bringing Cody Willis of Big Business, who was also in the Melvins, with them instead. So that leaves Dale Crover at home for the summer. Although actually, the Red Cross tour won't be during the Melvins tour because Stephen McDonald's in the Melvins as well. Anyways, there's a new Red Cross album coming out. Steve went online and played a song called I'll Take Your Word for It. He did an acoustic version. I was, you know, Red Cross is kind of one of these never was bands that people like, they for, in, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s, they were always written up as being the next big thing, the next big thing, you know. Kind of, and for a while, they were actually kind of pitched as the brother band to Nirvana, believe it or not. And of course,
Oh,
they were
wow.
involved in the early punk scene when they were all 12. And they, you know, the gimmick was they were 12, but they were playing with like Black Flag and Descendants and Stains and Alley Cats and all those bands. And you know, it just kind of never really popped. They're kind of one of these bands that have always been critic darlings, but they never sold a ton of records. And I actually am like, I'm not a huge fan of Red Cross's classic albums like Phase Shifter or some of the other, you know, mid-period stuff. I like the punk stuff at the very beginning. That being said, the last Red Cross album, which was called a very cool title, and that title of the last Red Cross album was the following, Beyond the Door. I thought that record was absolutely fantastic. Like, honestly, I only listened to it because it had Dale Crover on it and Steve, who's now in the Melvins as well. So my God, like, oh, I'll give it, and it is great. It is by far my absolute favorite Red Cross record. I
Oh,
love it.
wow.
The other classic Red ones are Born Innocent, which I thought I would like, but it's kind of not, you know, Neurotica is kind of like their classic one, and Third Eye. At any rate, so Beyond the Door was super fantastic. So then I was actually kind of excited to hear this new Stephen McDonald thing. And I think it's actually like freaking great. Like, I like it just acoustic. I can't even imagine. Like, it very much does remind me of the last Red Cross record. I thought the song, which is a great acoustic, kind of like one of these bubblegum-ish lyrically type tracks, sort of like the band Angel, sort of like Sweet, sort of like even Cheap Trick, you know. I just thought the song was super good, and I mean, I don't know if there's anything groundbreaking about it. I just think it's a super well-written track, and I'm super psyched to see both the Melvins. Well, actually, I'm probably not going to see the Melvins this summer because I don't think they're touring the USA this summer. Although Buzz Osborne and that's what I meant to say. Buzz Osborne and Trevor Dunn are touring USA, and Red Cross will probably be touring the USA at the same time. So I'm psyched to see Buzz and Trevor do Buzz solo stuff, and I'm super psyched to see Red Cross.
Nice.
Which in the track, Em?
It was all right. Like, I didn't mind it. I thought it sounded pretty cool. It's stuff like that where it makes me wonder what it's going to sound like when it's electrified, because I don't think it's going to stay acoustic. So it's just like, what's going to change? How are things going to evolve and things like that? So I think it'll be interesting to see the progression of the song. Well, that's like, I'm talking like I know. I don't know. They could keep it acoustic, but that came to mind when I was listening to it, for sure.
Em, I think you could admit you can say you don't like it, Em, if you don't like it.
I didn't not like it, but I wasn't like, it was okay. Like, that's my honest opinion. I thought it was like, it worked well acoustically, and it makes me wonder what it would be like electric.
Well, there you have it. Let's see what else we have to talk about. So here's another track. Jacob's Castle, which is Jacob Noel of Sublime, has put out a new track. It's called 2 Hours Ago. It follows, I think, two other singles, the first being Time Travel. I forget that the other was called Catch Me. Oh, and there's another one called Lights Out. And, of course, Jacob's Castle they've got a record coming out on Epitaph. And Jacob has also reunited with Sublime. True Sublime, as he closes Sublime with Rome, which only has one member of Sublime in it. Now, Sublime will be Jacob, Bud, and Eric Wilson. And what did you think of 2 hours ago?
I thought it was a very fun song with a very fun video where, like, there's so much going on, and I've never seen someone eat a SpongeBob ice cream treat that messily. I like the part where it was just dressed up like a knight and like running around a golf course for like no reason. I think it was a golf course. So there's definitely fun vibes. The song about like, I stopped giving a fuck like 2 hours ago, I thought that was kind of funny, but I didn't really like the song overall. I wouldn't listen to it again.
So I'm confused. You like this song or you didn't like this song?
I thought the song, like, it was fun. The video was fun. It just wasn't my cup of tea.
I find it interesting that you have to say something positive about it before saying something negative about it.
Well, because that's what I think about it. Like, I'm not going to say it was terrible because it wasn't. It was fun. And there was, like, there were definitely like good things about it. It's just, that's not my cup of tea. That's not what I'm listening to kind of right now. So it's just like, I understand how people would like it. I'm not a fan of this.
Well, I thought it was pretty bad, honestly. I was psyched when that song Time Traveler came out. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, it's kind of like Sublime, but not too much, you know, and it's got Tim Armstrong in it. Not that I'm a Tim Armstrong fanboy, but I'm like, you know, sometimes Tim does have the magic touch. I'm like, yeah, I'm a time traveler. I'm like, but this is pretty good. And then he put out the next track, and it was just kind of like generic pop punk, modern rock. And then he put out another record that was almost like modern pop. And to me, this record is just like modern pop, but it doesn't really have a hook. And it sounds dated to me. Like Time Traveler didn't sound dated to me, even though it was Sublime-esque. This sounds like it's from like 2008. It's super produced, super polished. Yeah. I don't really – they do the thing that almost all modern pop does now that I can't stand is they process the voice so much that it doesn't even sound like a human. It sounds like plastic, you know. And so I was ready to go all in on Jacob's Castle and be like, yeah, it's old, but it's new. You know, I'm a fan. Jacob's Castle, it's Sublime 2.0, but it's not. It's just like kind of a generic pop record that I think is not that good. And I feel like it feels to me like this is a song written by producers, because when a musician writes a song, they'll write it on an acoustic guitar or they'll write it on a piano. But to me, there's so many effects going on in this song. It sounds like it's producers trying to make a song sound bigger and busier than it actually is. And I feel if you stripped off all the crap Maybe there's something underneath there, but I think what you might find is there's nothing really that hooky or that interesting. Unlike Time Traveler, which would be is an interesting song no matter how what rendition you give to it. And so I feel like Epitaph or a management company, whoever, is like, Jacob's got something going on, but we need to make him a star. So we're gonna have this crack team of four songwriters and producers work with us to make some songs for Jacob. And this is what we get. And to me, it sounds like generic pop, like so many other generic pop stars, or not even pop stars, pop wannabes. And I was, I mean, he sounds like a nice kid. He's not even a kid, he's like 30, I think, or 35. He's a nice guy. And I want him to be successful. And I want more songs like Time Traveler. But this is not, this is like if this wasn't Jacob, like Time Traveler, even if it wasn't Jacob, I'd be like, this song is kind of cool. If you take Jacob out of the equation and this is just some pop song I hear on the radio at Boscov's or JCPenney or something, then I'll be like, this is crap. On a side note is I heard this song, I forget the name, but I think the song is called Fire, and the lyrics are, I'm a lion, so you're going to hear me roar. And I'm like,
Oh, that's
I've never heard
Roar
this
by
song
Katy
before.
Perry.
I'm like, I've never heard this song before, but I bet it's Katy Perry. And it was Katy Perry. And it just goes to show that, like, just by sheer production and cliche, you can figure out who the musician is, you know? And so I feel Jacob might have some real special style to him. I mean, he's a good singer. But I
Yeah.
feel he's getting washed away in production, and I feel it's getting squashed, and I feel people are going to forget about this in a year or less.
I looked up the producer because I wanted to know, like, what is going on
How'd
here.
you look it up?
I typed in, or it's on the Epitaph, records thing. It says,
Oh.
Jacob's Castle is an unfiltered version of his own musical identity, which he created alongside producer and co-collaborator John Joseph. So then I
John
Googled John,
Joseph.
not that one.
Oh, and did you see who one of the writers is here? Oh,
I just saw the producer and then I wanted to see who it was.
this song was written by Jacob Noel, a guy called Todd Foreman. I don't know who that is, but did
Todd
you see who the other
Foreman.
person is?
I did not.
Adrian Young of No Doubt. So clearly.
Oh, no way.
Oh, I like Todd Foreman, though, is a guy that goes back to the Sublime days. How do you like that? He's listed as having credits on,
Oh, there you
let's
go.
see here.
The saxophonist.
Oh, okay. Instrument and performance on 40 Ounces of Freedom, Sublime the album. And actually, he's actually on a, oh, wow. The Sublime song Foreman Freestyle is about him. So that's kind of cool. And he's done stuff with Sublime with Rome. So I didn't even know who Todd Foreman is, but he goes back to. Oh, how you like this? And the Sublime song where Brad Noel goes, Mart Martindale. That's about Mud Martindale, who was in a band called Third Alley with Todd Foreman. How you like that? At any rate, the other member of the other songwriter on this track is Adrian Young of No Doubt. So it's clearly is they brought in a songwriting team to help out with this. I'm trying to figure out if I can figure out who this John Joseph guy is, though.
I have him up. I have his like page up on a publishing website.
So what's his deal?
So,
Josh
writer,
Stone?
what?
Josh Stone looks like. Is that him?
John Joseph
Yeah,
is the
no, but
producer.
does he have a Josh Stone songwriting credit? Is that him or is that a different guy? Well,
That
go ahead.
is a different guy. He has worked with either co-writes or production for Illuminati Hotties, Medium Build, Becca Mankari, Mini Trees, Aviv, Boyo, The Undercover Dream Lovers, and many more.
So that kind of shows that he is a hired gun, you know, and that's how this song sounds to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's not a lot of soul to it.
I'm seeing if I can find through Illuminati Hotties. I'm not coming up there, but it
We've
does it.
talked about Illuminati Hotties.
No. I know we have. I'm seeing if I can find his credit there, and that way I can
Oh,
link him
sorry.
back to. But not. Because I would guess he helped them out with the Hopeless, the record on Hopeless, because that does
Yeah.
sound like a. I gotta say, Illuminati hotties were like super hot for a minute, and then we haven't heard from them in a while, have we?
I think they're working on something new or like might be touring.
Hmm.
Oh, that is not. I found one credit, but it's not for an Illuminati Hottie song. It's for a song by someone named Jake Tittle, and it's
Hey, Kittle.
featuring
How do you spell
Jake Tittle.
that is a horrible name. Is it Tittle?
Yeah, you got it. That features Illuminati Hotties. What a name.
That is a terrible name.
Oh, why am I? I don't want. There you go.
Hello, I'm Jake Tittle.
Mr. Tittle. Oh my God, on this website, the one that I found, the John Joseph profile, it's on Domino Publishing, and they misspelled Illuminati Hotties.
Oh, I see John Joseph.
They spelled it
Sam.
with two T's. They spelled Illuminati with two T's.
Oh,
Illuminati only has one T.
this guy's pretty young. Yes, it definitely seems like he's like a hired gun kind of. So definitely seems like, and
Yeah.
that's how this track feels. It feels like a hired gun track, you know? So yeah, I mean, I wanted to be good. I was ready to go all in on the Jacob Castle. Of course, they don't care about me as a fan, and you know, like, still, the young people might like it. I don't know.
The young people.
So yeah.
Maybe. We'll see.
I'm assuming you love this, M, because you're a
Oh,
young person.
yes, this is my jam. This in particular is
Oh, I
not
found
for
him. I
me.
found him. I found him, man. Here we go. Josh Stone. Yeah, he did do. Oh no, actually, he's listed as Josh Stone, but that's probably the other one because this guy only looks like he's about 26. So it's doubtful he was doing stuff in 2009. Let's see here. Yeah, Mini Trees, Jacob's Castle, some other crap. Anyways.
We've solved a mystery, but we've opened a new one.
Yeah, kind of a lacking mystery. That was like it's just some kid, you know, like, just some kid, San Pedro. Anyways,
What if it's like a situation where it's he's really so much older than he actually looks?
what? There's a musician called like El Reina Del something, not Lana Del Rey. It sounds like I'm saying Lana Del Rey. I know who Lana Del Rey is. No, it's like Reina Del something something. And I thought she was like 18 and she was 35. I'm like, damn. So it could be the case. Could be the case. At
You
any
never
rate,
know.
now this kid looks pretty young, man. Honestly, looks kind of like a dick. Like he's. I'm looking at his website. He's staring at me. He's got two earrings in his left ear. He's got on kind of the longshoreman cap. You know, he's got like a
Oh.
windbreaker buttoned all the way up. He's like, I'm tough, even though I got rich parents and there's two trumpets in the back of my picture. I'm tough. Like, anyways, I don't want to be such a dick to this kid. I think I'm being such a dick because I wanted Jacob's Castle to be my next Sublime, and it totally isn't. It's just some pop music, you know. Anyways, I don't know. Good wishes to Jacob Noel. I'm not gonna buy the record. I wanted to, but well, I'd rather listen to Mean Jeans at this point. So good, Mean Jeans, M. That Mean Jeans album is so good.
I haven't given it a spin yet.
It's good. It's real good. Honestly, the most recent Mean Jeans record, Blasted, I would say, is the most Mean Jeansy record of all the Mean Jeans records. And that if aliens
Okay.
came down and say, John, what is this thing, Mean Jeans? I would give them Blasted. It is the most. It's very, very Mean Jeansy. And I hope they do an East Coast tour. So anyway, I don't know. Anything else we should talk about?
What's going on? What is happening?
Let's do a tentative album battle next week, unless there's
Ooh,
like breaking
yes.
news. You want to do an album battle next week?
I am up for an album battle. I will start thinking about mine now. Wait, are we picking one album or two?
Well, if it's just you and me, we'll do two. But if
Okay.
Sam's in, we'll each do one. Um, so
Ooh, okay.
so pick two, you know. I
What
know at least
haven't I
one that I'm going.
picked?
So pick a primary and a secondary. I know what my
Okay.
primary is going to be.
What is it?
Well, actually. Well, here's what we should do, Em. Let's each pick an album. Maybe we'll do six if Sam's will too. Let's each pick an album we think the other will like right away,
Okay.
and maybe one that you think is great but might be challenging for the other person, but the person might come around to.
Interesting.
Like, I could just pick a noise record, and then here you go, Em. He's like, you're like, thanks, John. It's a noise record. You know what I mean? But my positive record for sure is going to be the Psychotic Pineapple, their first and only album. Amazing album.
Ooh, you mentioned that the other a
Yeah,
couple
it's
weeks
rad.
ago.
It's rad as hell. I
I'm
don't know what
trying
my
to think of
challenging one's
like
going to be.
the ones that I've already kind of talked about, and now it's like, okay, I can't pick those. So it's ooh, I want to start with a challenging one because I think that one's going to be harder. But oh, I don't know because Can I pick something newer, or does it have to have been around for a while?
No rules. Pick whatever you want. It could have come out yesterday.
Ooh, okay.
And before we wrap up, let's play a
Might do
game.
that. Yes.
It's true or false. The following people were in Red Cross. Are you ready?
Yes.
Ron Reyes of Black Flag.
True.
Dez Kadina of Black Flag.
I'm going to say also true.
Greg Hetson of Circle Jerks.
I know that's true.
Jack Irons of Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Ooh, I'm going to say false.
True.
Really?
Dale
Wow.
Crover of the Melvins.
True.
Bruce Duff, who was in a band with Keith Morris called Bug Lamp, and who was also
Okay.
in the Streetwalking Cheetahs.
I'm going to say true.
Janet Husden, who was one of the first two punk rockers in San Pedro.
Oh, that's cool. True.
Indeed, very true. And that's all the ones that I can name that you would know. I mean, there's other just random people.
Hey, nothing wrong with random people. Random people do cool stuff
There's so many
sometimes.
people in Red Cross, so many people.
What's their like member count?
Well, more than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15,
Oh.
16, 17, 18, 19, 20. How about this one, Em? Tracy Lee, also of Castration Squad.
True.
And who else was in Castration Squad,
Alice
Em?
Begg.
Correct. Excellent job. You win. Okay, very good. Well, we can't top that. We will see you all next week, where we will probably have an album battle. See you next week.